Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is June 7th. It's a Wednesday, middle of the week. Hope you're doing super well. We've got some air quality issues that are affecting a good chunk of the country. That's one of our news stories this morning, as well as in the weather forecast. We'll get to that in a few seconds. First, let us give you the rundown for today. We are going to have a beautiful discussion with an amazing mom, amazing writer and speaker. Her name is Emily Jaminet, and she's from Columbus, Ohio area. She's just delightful. I've had her on the show many times. Her parents are amazing, too, so involved in promoting our faith and also the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Ave Maria Press has produced this beautiful book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, and Emily will join us on her book. And then we're going to get the latest on the news from the Holy Father, who was admitted to the hospital, Gemelli Hospital in Rome, after the general audience today for some abdominal surgery. So Joan and I have been emailing each other back and forth, and she let me know the latest that she has, and that also she's very familiar with this type of surgery that the Holy Father is having. So Joan will be on top of it, as she always is, and she'll give us all the details in terms of the weather forecast. So just wanted to let you know that we will have the latest. And don't forget to tune into all of our news outlets, including EWTN News Nightly this evening, EWTN News In Depth, and of course, Raymond's show for all the latest news out of Rome and elsewhere. All right, the forecast. So here's what we're looking at around the country. This is according to the National Weather Service. We have air quality concerns for the Great Lakes. And as a matter of fact, our forecast in southeastern Michigan today, where I live, it's very, very hazy. And you have to remember, we're extremely close to Canada. We're right across from Windsor, Ontario. So we're getting some of that as well. So there's air quality concerns of the Great Lakes eastward, and then heavy rainfall, the National Weather Service says, for potential, or the heavy rainfall potential continues for the western part of the country. So here are some more details. Widespread smoke from Canadian wildfires is causing numerous and widespread air quality alerts from the Northeast to the Great Lakes, as well as for other urban areas in the central eastern U.S. Now, daily rounds of heavy rain are forecast for the remainder of the week in the Rockies and High Plains, with the potential for scattered instances of flash flooding. Now, the situation apparently is so bad in New York with air quality that the mayor there, and you'll hear this in the upcoming newscast, the mayor there is telling people, Mayor Adams, don't go outside if you don't have to. So it's a little rough in those different parts of the country affected by the wildfire. So just keep that in mind. 3 minutes past the hour. It is a Wednesday morning. You are listening to EWTN in this program, Catholic Connection, which is a co-production of Ave Maria and EWTN. Find us both online, EWTN.com and AveMaria.net. Right now, let's get the latest in the news before we take a break and talk about this beautiful month of June dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Well, Pope Francis, as we just mentioned, and Joan Lewis will have much more on this later in the program, is going into surgery, or is in surgery, actually, the Vatican confirming he was undergoing general anesthesia while he undergoes abdominal surgery. A Vatican spokesperson saying the operation was planned by the Pope's medical team because of a hernia that has been giving the Holy Father some reoccurring pain. The spokesperson says the 86-year-old Pope will remain in the hospital after the surgery for several days to allow for a normal post-operative course and full functional recovery. The Holy Father's admission to the hospital follows a visit and consultation with doctors at the same facility yesterday afternoon. And again, there's more on Catholic News Agency, The Register. Joan joins us at 39 minutes past the hour. And as I mentioned earlier, don't forget to tune into our news programs this evening and the rest of the week. In other news this morning, the clash between California lawmakers over inviting a so-called drag nun to the state capitol continues. GOP Assembly Leader James Gallagher walking out of the building Monday, declining to take part in the so-called LGBTQ pride ceremony. Republicans instead holding a prayer vigil on the Capitol steps in protest. The man who calls himself Sister Roma and dresses up as a nun also belongs to the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and was honored on the Senate floor for his charity work, apparently. The state of Oklahoma approved the country's first ever religious charter school on Monday. The move will allow public funds to pay the tuition of children attending an online Catholic school run by the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City and the Diocese of Tulsa. The statewide virtual charter school board voted 3-2 to approve St. Isidore of Seville Catholic Virtual School in a three-hour-long meeting. The yes votes included a new member who was appointed by the governor, Kevin Stitt. In a statement, the governor applauded the decision, saying this is a win for religious liberty and education freedom in our great state. And he said he's very encouraged by the efforts to give parents more options when it comes to their children's education. Speaking of which, three people are behind bars after fights apparently broke out outside the headquarters of the Glendale Unified School District. The school district officials were meeting to discuss the inclusion of LGBTQ studies in their curriculum, and this protester believes parents should have options.
Parents want transparency, and then parents want the option to opt out if it's not appropriate and not be told they can't.
Glendale Unified School District says its LGBTQ curriculum has been in effect since 2019, but it is reconsidered every year. At least two people are dead after a shooting that followed a high school graduation in the state of Virginia. One witness, Jason Alexander, describing the chaotic scene.
Everybody started running, and I pushed her down on the ground. We got down on the ground, and it's just chaos from there. You just kept hurting shots. It was like 8, 9, 10 shots.
It happened Tuesday near the campus of Virginia Commonwealth University in Richmond. Police say seven people suffered gunshot wounds. Several others were injured in the panic that followed, including a 9-year-old who was struck by a car, two people taken into custody, but police say they believe one of the subjects was not involved in the shooting. Authorities plan to seek murder charges against a 19-year-old suspect. And there's the story continues to develop, but so far they say right now there is no longer a threat to the public. Well, Mike Pence making his 2024 presidential bid official. The former vice president releasing a new video campaign on his 61st birthday, attacking the Biden administration and the radical left.
President Joe Biden and the radical left have weakened America at home and abroad. The American dream is being crushed under runaway inflation. Wages are dropping. Recession is looming. Our southern border is under siege, and the enemies of freedom are on the march around the world.
In the video, Pence says the country is in trouble and different times call for what he says is different leadership. The video makes no mention of the former President Donald Trump, Pence filing his candidacy paperwork with the FEC earlier on Monday. He is expected to kick off his campaign this week in Iowa. Meanwhile, Chris Christie is officially in the running for the 2024 presidential election as well.
I can't guarantee you success in what I'm about to do, but I guarantee you that at the end of it, you will have no doubt in your mind who I am and what I stand for and whether I deserve it.
The Republican announcing his candidacy during a town hall event in New Hampshire that happened last night. The former New Jersey governor will also take part in a CNN town hall event next week, moderated apparently by Anderson Cooper. Christie again, as you just heard, with Mike Pence now entering the race, joining an already crowded GOP field. Florida officials are defending the state's role in sending migrants to California. The Division of Emergency Management confirming yesterday it's responsible for two flights that have carried dozens of people from Texas to Sacramento in the last week. A Florida official says the people who board those flights did so voluntarily. The United Nations says over 40,000 people are at risk of flooding after a dam collapsed in southern Ukraine. Ukraine says Russia committed a war crime in blowing up the dam yesterday, and Russia claims Ukraine did it to create a distraction. The UN says the sheer magnitude of the catastrophe will become known in the coming days. And an organization representing the families of 9/11 victims is speaking out against the PGA Tour merging with LIV Golf. The group 9/11 Families United says it's deeply offended by the merger and claims PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan co-opted the 9/11 community last year when he spoke out against the Saudi-backed golf agency. 17 U.S. states, as we mentioned, a lot of issues with air quality. We mentioned that in the weather forecast a few minutes ago, issuing air quality alerts because of thick smoke from Canadian wildfires. States in the Northeast, the Mid-Atlantic, and as far away as Kentucky and Tennessee are reporting dense smoke from the fires burning in Quebec. Canadian officials say fire crews are scrambling to put out over, get this, 160 wildfires. So a real problem for a lot of folks across the country. And a New York City student says she made it to prom despite getting hurt after being pushed onto the subway tracks earlier in the day. The young woman says she was shoved onto the tracks at 75th Street Monday morning while on a trip to get her hair done for the prom. The senior, who's from Cypress Hills Collegiate Prep School, telling the New York Post she had scrapes and bruises after getting herself back onto the platform, but she continued to the beauty parlor and made it in time for prom. A woman was arrested at a homeless shelter for the alleged push. It's almost 11 minutes past the hour. I do hope that your Wednesday morning is going well. It's June 7th, 2023. Taking another look at the forecast before we take a quick break. Widespread smoke from Canadian wildfires, as you heard in the news, is causing numerous and widespread air quality alerts from the Northeast to the Great Lakes, as well as for other urban areas in the central eastern U.S. And daily rounds of heavy rain are forecast throughout the remainder of the week in the Rockies and High Plains, with the potential for scattered instances of flash flooding. It is a Wednesday morning. Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back to talk more about this beautiful month of June dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Stay tuned.
If you've never been to EWTN's free family celebration, this is your year. Your EWTN family is waiting for you where it all began in Birmingham, Alabama. Join us Saturday, August 26th as we celebrate Mother Angelica's love for the Eucharist and mark the centennial year of Mother's birth. For more information on this free event, visit EWTN.com/family celebration. We want to see you there.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Middle of the week, never a dull moment when we talk about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, this month, June, is dedicated to His beautiful Sacred Heart. And someone who knows all about that is just a wonderful young woman I've come to know. First met her actually through her parents, who are just incredible and obviously had a great impact on her. Emily Jaminet's book is her latest one, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, 10 Ways to Build a Stronger, More Loving, to Build Stronger, More Loving Relationships, published by our friends at Ave Maria Press. And Emily, it was so sweet. You were telling me during the break this ended up getting published on your parents' anniversary. How sweet was that?
Isn't that great? It was initially going to come out in the first week of May, and they adjusted it to April 24th, which, as you know, sometimes you get those God winks, like,
right.
All right, Lord, you know, this is important because, you know, one of the things we're doing, and the reason why I'm writing books like this, is to strengthen relationships, to get people to see not only the importance of practicing our faith, but living out our faith in such a way that we bring others to Christ. And that's really what my parents have done for me, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and I've been influenced, and I just want to pass that message to others as well.
Yeah, because your parents are the ones who really gave you the love of the Sacred Heart, right?
They really are. I still remember, them having the images in our home. My grandparents also just being such a holy example. And we did the enthronement of the Sacred Heart when I was in high school. I was a little, grumbly about it at the time, me and my siblings. But I remember it was so significant in the life of my family because we welcomed the reign of Christ into our hearts, into our home. And my dad can tell you now, it's like he said, I felt, a newness, a freshness, like a weight off my shoulder, because he said I no longer had to know everything. I just needed to trust the Lord. And in my own life as a mom of seven, it's the exact same scenario played out, 25 years later, where I'm saying, Lord, I don't know where to turn, so I'm turning to you, and I need you. And as a result, God just pours out his grace, as you know.
So let's talk about some of the holy habits. I don't want to give the whole book away because we want people to buy the book. But being that you're a busy mom and you're on the radio and you speak and you write, I mean, you must really take a lot from these holy habits that Jesus gives us from his Sacred Heart.
Well, Teresa, what I realized is I need to not just practice my faith, but I need to live it in a way which we can be that example to others. So in the Holy Habits, I break down the fact that Jesus shares through the devotion to the Sacred Heart, which was revealed really significantly through St. Margaret Mary 350 years ago. And Jesus tells her, he says, from my heart flows mercy, which we know through divine mercy and the gift of that, charity, where he wants to be our, not just our king, but he wants to be our friend. He wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He pours forth grace. But he also gives us virtue. And what that really struck me is the importance of virtue. So the first holy habit is docility, openness to even the Lord working in our life. And I realize a lot of times we might, have our own little hard-heartedness where we don't even allow him to work, to come in and touch hearts. So I thought that was a really good place to start.
Well, that's actually where it all begins, right? You have that openness and that willingness. And in my latest book, my first chapter, one of the things that I've learned from my mom, the funny sayings, she used to always tell us, offer it up to God and put it at the foot of the cross. If you don't start there, I mean, it's kind of like, useless.
It really is, isn't it? Useless. And a lot of times we have to get past our own pride, our own stubbornness. And I share in the book, I remember, even as a mom with six children, that night that I got on my knees and I said, Lord, you get the family, you get my future, you get my marriage, you get everything. That's when really he touched my heart and put this great mission in me to say, if I need this, everyone needs this. So that to me was my personal encounter. Of course, I was a practicing Catholic. I still am. But it was that intimate opportunity where I got on my knees and got past, all my stubbornness in that moment.
So what do people say when you tell them that? I mean, did they think you're like this holy roller? Oh my gosh, yeah, whatever. You kind of look at you, or because you're out there speaking and you're talking to a lot of people one-on-one. What's the reaction when you tell them the importance of first giving it over to God and when really trying to take advantage of the blessings and the holy habits from the Sacred Heart?
Well, one of the things I'm learning, and one reason why I wrote this book, is we need entry points to represent the Catholic faith. A lot of times we need to be that humble example of saying, I struggle just as much as you do. And at the same time, I'm finding most people feel so unworthy to be that example, unworthy to stand up against the atrocities of this culture, unwilling to really be a voice because they don't feel that they're equipped. But what I found is that the more that we rely on Christ, the more he gives us grace and fills us with the Holy Spirit and gives us even, the understanding, the clarity that Jesus has already won the battle. We just need to do our best to live an authentic life and to be relatable. So I talk about the Sacred Heart on the soccer field, to the moms next to me, or I give out prayer cards at the grocery store, not because it's prideful, but because I see the hurting and the suffering that's going on right in our own families, but also in society as well.
And so in the book, do you reiterate the importance of the devotion to the Sacred Heart and having your home enthroned to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary?
I do. I do promote the importance of the enthronement. But one of the things I've learned in 4 years of working at WelcomeHeart.com is that I've seen that a lot of times it's just that tiny little change that needs to happen. And let's celebrate when, when two family members have an experience of reconciling, it can feel like a miracle. It's unbelievably, fruitful when that forgiveness comes in. Or, when we can get past the bitterness of really those pains from the past, those are worth celebrating. And a lot of times they don't get the front page where I get to tell those stories on Catholic Connection, but they're important. And we need to remember that the Lord's always working because he wants to heal our hearts. He wants to make us new. So it's just as much about the enthronement as it is changing our hearts, not on our will, but allowing the Lord to work through us.
Amen. Talking with Emily Jaminet, her latest book, of course, about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, from Ave Maria Press. We'll put the link on our archive section at Catholic Connection, and Andrew will have that up by, very quickly. Usually he has it within an hour or two, so you can find out more information. You can also check it out always at the EWTM Religious Catalog. So, Emily, let's kind of review a little bit about the saint that gave us the teachings of the message and the message of the Sacred Heart before we take a break, in case maybe there's a new Catholic or someone who's not that familiar with it.
Well, as you know, Teresa, it's just a fascinating story. 350 years ago, this December, Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary, and he told her, behold this heart that loves so much, but in return he receives indifference, ingratitude, and coldness. So relatable to the culture we live in, but yet so different, because they were in the midst of Jansenism, a heresy where they felt so unworthy to receive communion that even diocese promoted the fact that nobody received communion in the whole diocese for a whole year. We have different problems now, but yet the solution is the same, Jesus Christ. And I also, what I love about the devotion is we receive the 12 promises of the Sacred Heart, which are like a roadmap for us moving forward. It highlights the feast of the Sacred Heart, which this month will be June 16th, but also gives us an understanding of suffering and difficulty through offering it up, like you mentioned, and doing acts of reparation where we give Jesus everything in our lives.
You know, what's so, I guess it isn't really shocking if you think about it, and no coincidence, and Catholic Votan that mentioned this on one of their e-blasts the other day, that the whole Pride celebration with the Dodgers is actually being held on the 16th, which, as you mentioned, the Feast of the Sacred Heart. And I don't think it's any coincidence. I think this is just the spiritual world that's at play here. When you look at this month of June with our culture celebrating quote-unquote Pride, and what are we called to do as Catholic Christians is to humble ourselves in front of that and be dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which, as you mentioned, Emily, first and foremost, we have to not be prideful and get on our knees and say, I give you everything, as opposed to being prideful and it's all about me and whatever I want to do.
Wow. You know what, to me, Teresa, I stopped in my tracks when I realized it was on June 16th. If that doesn't highlight what a spiritual battle we are in.
Battle this is, right.
Mm-hmm. Every day I get phone calls from people saying, I need more grace. I'm being attacked spiritually. And it highlights that promise where Jesus told St. Margaret Mary, where the image is exposed and honored, they shall be blessed. One of the biggest blessings is spiritual protection. So we need this image, again, as it once was, in every Catholic home, in the institution, and even businesses. We need to reclaim the earth by welcoming the reign of Christ. So that's really our mission. That's why I wrote the book. That's why I give my whole life to this cause. Because that the Dodgers, and they won't let their pride go, will they?
Even no, though they're no.
They won't stop. It's fascinating how pride blinds us.
Yeah. And I mean, if you think about the fall, original sin, what was it? The devil telling Adam and Eve, don't worry about it. You can be God. God just doesn't want you to be like him. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes, right? That's what we're told. And we just see this over and over again. And Jesus just saying, come to me and give me your heart. I want your heart fully so I can give you my heart. And we make it so complicated because it's all about us.
It is all about us. And, that's the downfall of technology is we can begin to see that we are little gods, right? What we post, what we say is the only thing that matters. But what the Sacred Heart does is he resets our heart and he puts order in our heart and he eliminates what I talk about in the book, Holy Habits. He these counterfeits to love that blind us. You know, lust is not love. What is love is being meek and humble and serving, because that's what Jesus said his heart was like. So we don't need to even consider pride a virtue. It's not. It's the greatest sin, but our culture is so sick. So I'm excited to see, and I've already heard such great testimonies of holy habits in the Sacred Heart. Because the other thing I did in the book, Truth Is, I highlighted a vignette of a heart where they...
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to pick it up on the other side of the break. I don't want to miss a word. I want our listeners to hear everything you have to say because it's so important. Having a great conversation with the author of a beautiful book dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and you need to get a copy of it. And the author, of course, is Emily Jaminet. And the title of the book is Holy Habits and the Sacred Heart. It's published by our friends at Ave Maria Press. We'll be right back. More with Emily and more with Jesus. Amen. Stay tuned.
So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Nothing illustrates the powerful bond between man and wife intended by God, the creator of marriage, than these words from Matthew's Gospel. A true marriage is a sacramental bond and is therefore indissoluble. The Catholic Catechism, however, realistically acknowledges that the presence of evil can severely strain this bond. Marital union has always been threatened by discord, a spirit of domination, jealousy, infidelity, and conflicts that can escalate into hatred and separation. The original communion of Adam and Eve was ruptured by their sin of disobedience. Their relations were distorted by mutual recrimination, says the Catechism, and brought about the pain of childbirth and the toil of work. Without God's help, a man and woman cannot achieve the union of their lives for which God created them in the beginning. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa.
Take a look at our website, EWTN.com, and the old programs. I've so far gone through the encyclicals on Jesus, which is Redemptor Hominis, on God the Father, Divus et Misericordia, and on the Holy Spirit, Dominum et Vivificantem. Also the one on the Gospel of Life, Evangelium Vitae, and the one on Redemptoris Mater, Mother of the Redeemer. So I've gone through five of those, and you can get those off of our website. Again, the website is www.ewtn.com, and then when you go to libraries, what you can do is go to the audio library, and the audio library will have the old programs. They're all there, and you can just access them that way. May God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network on a Wednesday, having a great conversation with Emily Jaminet, her latest book, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, published by Ave Maria Press. Okay, I didn't want to interrupt you, but we were going to get interrupted by the satellite break, so I wanted you to continue the train of thought, talking about what you've seen in terms of the response to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Well, one of the real blessings about the book is that I've seen it, the book has crossed political lines, and so that to me was like, thank you, Jesus, because we said initially, right, we want hearts to change, and we want to get those who are being misled by a lot of these movements to have an opportunity to encounter the heart of Christ. So I think that, you know, the huge affirmation I received was that, you know, I've received phone calls to say, hey, I'm willing to do the enthronement, you know, and that to me is a huge affirmation. And I also thought that, you know, another huge affirmation was the variety of ages of people saying, you know, I'm willing to do this because I want to work on my relationship with my young children, but also those who are saying, I need to be an example to all my fallen away family members, and I don't know where to begin. And a lot of times I tell people, I was just in New Mexico last week talking about this, I said, start with saying, I'm working on changing my heart to be more like Jesus. I said, there's nothing less threatening than that. That's a great way to start, especially when we have those breakdowns in family members who don't understand our Catholic faith.
Well, also, I think that shows that you're the one that's willing to change, and you're not going up to them and pointing a finger in their face. And that doesn't mean that they shouldn't change, obviously, and come back to the church. But you're saying, you know what, I have to change. I'm willing to be more like Jesus.
Isn't that the truth? We all have to be willing to change, right? As we talked in that first segment, pride is so deceitful. And there was a powerful testimony that I share in the book, these little vignettes of heart. I didn't want to make it about the person. I wanted to make it about the transformation that happened. And, you know, the story of this man at the top of his career, feeling like, you know, everything's going great, and then being hit by this autoimmune disease and being angry at God. Because I was so angry, and I was sitting there surrounded by cancer patients, receiving, you know, my IV for treatment. And just when I put this up to the Lord, the Holy Heart of Jesus prayer card fell out of my briefcase, and I read, "Lord, make me meek and humble of heart." And He said, "Wow, this is how I do it, by offering up my suffering." And it just was such a powerful testimony to say, how many times do we, at the top of our game, don't give God the glory, right? It's mm-hmm. about us. We don't give the prayers of gratitude. Instead, we think we're so great, but we all need grace, and we all need transformation. And this is how we're going to do it. In the beginning of the book, I said, let's have a revival. Let's do it through the heart of Jesus.
How do you see this connected in the release of your book and the timing of all the beautiful efforts that are going on, Emily, with the Eucharistic revival that we're seeing in the church?
I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, I was really touched by even the word revival as I use it in the book. We have a Thicker Heart revival going on right now. And yet I see that you can't just go and practice, you know, the faith at Mass. We can't have the Holy Eucharist in our home. But we can have an image of the Sacred Heart that points to the Holy Eucharist and is also stands as that holy reminder of Jesus requested the image in our home. And so I think the timing is building a bigger movement, the response of hearts who love God to the difficult problems of the world. So I'm really encouraged to say that, you know, families need to be strengthened, our faith needs to be bolstered, and we need spiritual stability in a very unstable world.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't you see it? Think it's interesting how you have the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and then you have so many of these Eucharistic miracles. For example, especially Lanciano, which they've proven is heart muscle. You know, the blood and the heart muscle. And you think about the Sacred Heart, the Eucharist, heart muscle.
Isn't it unbelievable? I mean, that's the thing about our faith, is that you go deeper and deeper and deeper. And you know, as Jesus requested His heart to have this image exposed and honored, you know, it's to remind us of the Eucharistic miracles. It's to remind us of our spiritual food, the Eucharist. And also, what needs to happen is our hearts need to change. We need a heart transplant. Everyone in the world needs, you know, to take their stony hearts and make them hearts of flesh. So, to me, the solution of our world's problem begins in the heart, changing the heart.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I'm talking with Emily Jaminet, who's written and spoken for years now on the Sacred Heart, and she continues to do this beautiful, beautiful work, and she's also a busy mom. Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart is her latest book. So you find, I'm sure, this is just like a bottomless well of beauty and love, and you can keep drawing from it to keep teaching people about the Sacred Heart, I'd imagine, because you keep writing books about it, which is awesome.
You know, I have, you know, the first book, Secrets of the Sacred Heart, you know, was about the 12 promises, but I felt like let's give people some additional tools to implementing it. And, you know, as you mentioned, as parents, we can't just say we know it, we're done. You know, we need to continue to go deeper and deeper, and the grace is there. So I'm just as much living it as I am writing about it and doing ministry work every day to promote it.
And does you get to tell your mom and dad they were right over and over again?
You know, I'm humbled.
They're so sweet. They would probably never expect you to do that. But, they're, you know, I just think they're just so adorable and they're so wonderful.
You know what? They are. They are so sweet. And you know, a lot of times in the book I quote my parents, which, as you know, you recently said you're quoting your mom. Those things stick with you.
They do. Exactly. They do stick with you. Right.
My mom's looks and always looks fun, but it, you know, you go deeper and it leads to misery. And it's true, isn't it true?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really appreciate all your great work on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So in terms of getting an enthronement, we have about 2 minutes left. So can you just talk about the enthronement process if people are interested in having their home enthroned to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which Dominic and I have had done actually twice now. You could do it more than once. A lot of people don't realize that.
You can. You can always renew your commitment to the enthronement. It's a practice officially approved in the church in 1907 as a way to push back secularism and modernism. And I'm very, very grateful that at welcomethisheart.com, we have everything from a digital download to ordering kits and materials. All of our booklets have the imprimatur of the church. We work closely with the bishop. We have a beautiful letter from our bishop promoting it to other priests and religious and bishops as well, because our mission is for people, the people of God, to choose to welcome the reign of Christ into their home. So yeah. If you do it through a missionary, you do it through ordering the materials. If you do it through working with your local priest, but a priest does not need to be present for the enthronement, right. What needs to be present is your openness to the graces.
And to be willing to have that beautiful image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus with his Immaculate Heart of Mary Mother together in a prominent place in your home to show your dedication to them.
Amen. Yep, exactly.
Yep. I think I have like 3 or 4 of those images around my house. I mean, you know, it can't hurt. It's like chicken soup, right? Even better.
Even better. I have them in also my children's bedroom. I think children, mm-hmm. especially now, we haven't had a chance to talk about it. They're on such attack on their understanding of love and faith. So having those images reset us, and I encourage you to put them in the children of your bedrooms, your children's bedroom as well.
Holy reminders, as Mother Angelica always taught us. Emily, great to catch up with you. Give your sweet parents a big hug for me. And again, the book, a beautiful book. Perfect book for the month of June, Holy Habits from the Sacred Heart, the author, Emily Janinet, and it is published by Ave Maria Press, avemariapress.com. We'll be right back. We go to Rome to talk with Joan Lewis.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
For Christians, love was central to everything, because before the creation of the universe, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived in all eternity, communicating in love between themselves. This is going on before there's ever a moment that we refer to as in the beginning. So Christianity introduces into the history of human thought this idea that love is underneath it all. In fact, Luke Berry, this atheist philosopher writer, says, it's quite clear that without this Christian belief that love is at the center of things, we would not have our human rights revolution that we talk about today. We take this for granted. You know, we have gay rights and women's rights and transgender rights and minority rights and this right and that right. There'd be no rights whatsoever without the incarnate Son of God.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
It's a Wednesday. That means we go to Rome to speak with our very own Joan Lewis. What a day. Busy, busy day. So it's so interesting, Joni, and you and I were going back and forth, as we always do in preparation for our segment, that, you know, it was a very positive exam that he had, and the Vatican and other Catholic outlets reporting that he had his exam and it went well. Then all of a sudden we hear that he's admitted for surgery today. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Yeah. Today, if you think about it, Teresa, today's announcement by the Holy See press office that the Pope was going to have this surgery, that's the first time in a long time, I hate to say it, that they have been proactive. We know the Pope went to the hospital yesterday. I was suspicious yesterday, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But yesterday morning, it was the Italian news agency ANSA that reported, because they have someone at the hospital, that the Pope was there. It turned out to be like an hour and a quarter that he was there, and he was back in the Vatican by noon. But it was ANSA who reported it. Other news agencies, and I was one of those news people, picked it up because ANSA is totally reliable. And it was the Vatican press office only sometime later that actually confirmed it. Now, I'll tell you what made me suspicious about yesterday, or question myself. I have questions myself. And yet I didn't write this because why am I? I'm not going to write about something I don't have the answer to. But the thing is, Teresa, the Vatican has a very good health center. They don't have a hospital. They have many doctors. Obviously, there's one of those doctors who is the very papal doctor, and the Pope has other assistants helping him out. But the Vatican has this great center, doctors of all kinds. They have important x-ray machines. They don't have an MRI, and I don't think they have a CAT scan. But still, if the Pope was going to go to the hospital for, like, just an hour, what was going to be done, this is Joan asking herself, that couldn't have been done at the Vatican? And I'm sure that there's even some things, not big machinery, but there's probably some things all ready for the Holy Father at the Santa Marta residence. So, okay, like, why would you go there for an hour? Did he have to be administered some new medicine that, you know, the Vatican didn't have? I just asked myself all sorts of questions. Well, of course, we got the answer this morning when we found out that after the audience, the Holy Father would be going to the hospital for surgery. Now, as you and I are speaking, I do not know the status of that surgery, because we know he left the Vatican at 11:15, so 11:14, so shortly after the audience today. And what was interesting, when the press office finally came out with what I'll call a proactive, not reactive, bulletin, they said, after today's general audience, the Holy Father went to Gemelli Hospital. Teresa, they released this at the same time the Pope was in the square at the end of the audience, receiving bishops and, I guess, newlyweds and things like that. So, in any event, we know what time he left for the hospital. There's several things that have to be done before such a serious operation. And so we don't know what time that surgery began, if indeed it's 3:45 here in the afternoon, if indeed it has already been done. And I know, as I wrote you from the identical personal experience, that it is a very serious surgery. My symptoms were far more serious than what the doctors have told us the Pope's symptoms are. That doesn't mean it's less serious an operation. But I do know such surgery can last several hours. So, and I wrote on my blog that I posted a short time ago that since we don't know the time that the surgery began, and it can last several hours, we don't know exactly, you know, when they're going to come and tell us something. The hospital is setting up a media center, a way to address the media after the operation. And I'm going to tell people right now, if you don't hear anything until early evening, Rome time, that sounds about right. If it's a surgery of several hours, and then you're going to have post-op, the doctors, they're not going to come out until they're really sure, A, the Pope has come out of the anesthesia, and then he's reacting to certain things, and then they'll finally come out, you know, and make a statement. And but in any event, interestingly enough, a number of years ago, I went to Castel Gandolfo to do a big article, pictures and all, on the summer papal residence. And the head of the Vatican, of the Papal Palace, if you will, at the time, he was showing me all around some of the interior rooms, and then we spent hours going through the gardens, so many things. But the first thing he did, and I was blown away, I had come out in a Vatican car, and so he greets me in the courtyard of the palace, brings me into the house through a butler's pantry and a kitchen area. And everything was, of course, very large if you have to make meals for, you know, a certain number of people. The first thing he points out to me is a refrigerator, no surprise. And he said, now this is where we keep the papal blood supply. And Teresa, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. They're going to have, probably at the Santa Marta, they're going to have at the Vatican Medical Center, any place where the Pope is going to be, I'm just guessing, on a papal trip. There's going to be some kind of, you know, a blood supply available. Mm-hmm. Teresa, you think about it. They're going to have this at the White House. They're going to have this at the Champs-Élysées in Paris. So, I just had never thought about a papal blood supply. You know, you just go to a general audience. That's not one of the first things you think about. So, in any event, it's, again, not... It is a serious surgery, so we certainly want to pray for the Holy Father. But another thing has struck me in recent days, just looking at the papal audiences, the list for weeks now, but especially recent days, except usually for a Tuesday when he's working on the text for the Wednesday audience, the Pope has received six, seven, eight audiences listed. Maybe four or five, three or four individuals or a head of state or a papal nuncio. And then he'll be receiving two, three, and four groups. And I can remember when Pope John Paul, Teresa, would leave on a trip, there was this flurry of activity. And it was kind of like it made me, maybe I was thinking, you know, a little harder than I should have, but it just made me think of, wow, are we kind of tying up loose ends? Hey, I got to get all this stuff done before I go on my trip. So, but there's been just an extraordinary number of audiences in a single day lately. So, we shall. Obviously, he knew about the surgery, and obviously, if there was anybody else who did, they were very good at keeping the secret. So, and then you look
it's interesting though because he's. Yeah, papal appointments. He's been very, very busy. He's been meeting with a lot of groups. He met with the missionary group. He's met with young people. He's met with artists. I mean, that's been going on the last... you look at the Vatican News site, and the summary is, like, incredible of his activities. But what I wonder about, and I'm not a medical expert, but I wonder about... They always talk about anesthesia when you're older and how dangerous that can be. He's 86.
Well, and Teresa, if you remember, when his knee problem cropped up. Now, the first time that any of us at the world saw the Pope in a wheelchair was May 5th of last year. So that it's been a long time. We know he has the knee problem. Obviously, there were other problems which were not detailed. But every time he'd get up and down from that chair or sit in his chair at the general audience, you could see the pain on his face. And now I'm beginning to associate that with part of this, you know, laparotomy procedure that they're going to do today. And but it's just a huge mystery, I guess, almost how he, you know, got to this stage. But I think if you look at what the Vatican has, they've been posting papal trips. You know, he's supposed to go to, at the end of August, to Lisbon for World Youth Day. And then, before that, August 31st to September 4th, you know, he's going to be in Mongolia. And that's, quite a long plane trip. So they'd have to have the surgery now if he's going to be in any condition to undertake those trips. And if you remember, when going back a bit, when the Pope was asked, he said this himself in an interview, I don't remember with what media, but the Pope said himself the worst part of his 2021 abdominal surgery was the anesthesia. And he said to the doctors for his knee, I will not undergo surgery on my knee because I will not undergo anesthesia again. Well, obviously he consented to this. It might have even been reluctant, but... basically, what it boils down to, knowing what they've told us about this surgery, he didn't have a choice not to have. It couldn't be a local surgery, like a local anesthesia, like it could be
anesthesia,
for
yeah.
you know, for a
yeah.
knee. So, yeah, age is.
I was wondering that when I first heard about the surgery, and I know when you were writing me that you said it was not, you know, an easy thing. It's a serious surgery, so that means it's got to be a general anesthesia. So we're just going to be like really praying for him, of course, today, right now, for the doctors and that the recovery, because they did say, and you've mentioned this as well, that he is going to be in the hospital for post-op for a few days.
I hope it's only a few days, and if it is, yeah. that will be actually a very positive factor. Again, I'm just speaking from personal experience, although when I went into surgery, my condition, it was life-saving surgery, and the doctors told my staff at the Vatican press office at the time that had I come in 24 hours later, they wouldn't be visiting me. So, but there's going to be a lot to look for in the, you know, the possible potential side effects of any surgery. So he's going to be in the, obviously, in the very best hands, the very best care. So I hope it is only a few days, but it's one of those things that will require a lot of care in the hospital and a lot more care when he comes back to the Santa Marta. So, but he'll
so
have
you haven't heard, you haven't heard anything, we only have about a minute left, you haven't heard anything in terms of activities being limited because they don't know yet. I mean, because he's, as you and I both said, he's just been so busy. There's been so many meetings and audiences and different teachings he's been putting out. But you don't know if anything has changed for post-op at this point in terms of his schedule.
No, I mean, I think we'll probably get some kind of, oh, by the way, the press office is closed today, the Vatican press office. They've already closed for the day, but they will be open as of 9 tomorrow morning. So the news that we do get on the Pope will come, it'll probably be just be the physical news, not his schedule, that will come from the hospital. But I think it's going to be a while. Again, my personal experience is not parallel to his, but in any event, just his calendar will be cleared for some time, and maybe he'll take the rest of June off. July is his normal vacation time, which is really a working vacation, a staycation, as we call it. You know,
mm-hmm.
he reduces
right.
audiences,
right.
et cetera. So we'll find out in due time. I think in a, you know, 24, 48 hours, we will have a better idea of his recovery time, of his schedule, et cetera, et cetera. So...
well, thank you for that very, very thorough, and we'll have to pray for him, as you said, but thank you for that very thorough update and also the look at the type of surgery, knowing that you went through it as well. I think that was very helpful for people. So, as you said, we're just going to keep praying for him, and we will look to you and look to our other EWTN sources, but you'll have more. You already have a summary on Jones Roe, but you'll be updating that as well, correct?
Yes, exactly, exactly. So as soon as we get a bulletin, and I urge people not to be that worried, if it doesn't come out until early evening Rome time, the doctors aren't going to come out until they're ready and the Pope's ready. So
yeah, absolutely, you know. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, my dear. Well, thank you so much and look forward to all of your great reports, not only on Jones Rome at WordPress.com, but of course at Home with Jim and Joy, where you report from Rome. Joan Lewis, our very own, giving us an update, and the Holy Father in surgery today because of issues with a hernia. And we will have more, and we'll keep it posted. And we'll also have the latest on Catholic Connection, God willing, tomorrow. We'll be right back and let you know what else is coming up tomorrow on a Thursday edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned.
Hi, friends. Jonet Williams here. Join me every Wednesday on Women of Grace Live as I welcome New Age researcher and blogger for Women of Grace, Sue Brinkman. Sue and I will be talking about all the wacky things that could distract you from your faith. Psychics, yoga, Reiki, crystals, acupuncture, Ouija boards, tarot cards, and astral traveling are just a few of the stranger things we discuss. That's why we call it Wacky Wednesday. So join us at 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What is a bromance? I'm Chuck Gatica, and this is Journey Strong. This word bromance is used by younger men to describe close friendships with other young guys. You know, the guys who man-hug and chest-bump. Let's face it. Generally, women can make friends more easily than men. My wife can make a new friend coming out of the ladies' room. While this may be tougher for guys, younger men now reflect that their close male-to-male friendships are getting deeper and growing. Many guys who only seemed to communicate with crude jokes to each other are now more open to sharing, being vulnerable and authentic with each other. This is likely good news for so many reasons, including emotional and mental health. Developing close male bonds includes sharing much about life. Being a good listener is a key to a strong buddy relationship, too. Check out the Journey Strong tab for more on this at the homepage of AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Thanks so much for tuning into the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And don't forget to stay tuned to us all day long for updates on the Holy Father situation. As Joan Lewis just said, we'll have the latest on EWTN News Nightly and our other wonderful news outlets. So stay tuned, EWTN.com, for all the information. It is a Wednesday. Tomorrow is a Thursday, June 8th. And so looking forward to our cultural connections with Father Mitch Pacwa. We're going to be taking another look at this whole transgender ideology issue. There is a very interesting study that just came out from Europe, and Europe is considered far more, quote-unquote, progressive than, air quotes going on there, than the United States. But now more studies showing that, you know what, go figure, this so-called transitioning surgery doesn't make people happier. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Adamani.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.